Dear Heavenly Father, today I ask that you lead and guide me into to what is necessary for your people and how important it is where we're at right now and how you're working in the hearts and mind of people. And I thank you so much for this wonderful privilege of being part of the body of Christ that is in the earth right now. And I thank you for our forefathers that have left us some tremendous insight to build off of. And we'll give you, be careful to give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, the first place that I want you to go is I want to just do a little pass and review. I would like you to open up to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we've been kind of doing a series on tests and trials of life and been trying to give good insight as to how to handle the pressures of life today. Matter of fact, the word tribulation has an understanding of pressure, affliction, trouble, anguish. It means to be afflicted. A pressing of pressure upon people. And we are living in a time period where we're seeing that more and more. A lot of pressure on people, a lot of pressing against them. And they don't realize that the world does not really have anything to offer other than that very thing, tribulation. Because we are living in a fallen world. Whether we realize it or not, we are living in a falling world. And the only way that you can face a falling world and the pressures and tribulations that it has is receive Jesus as your personal Savior and then let Him begin to work in your heart and life to face the situations of life. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're in tests and trial and there's a lot of pressure, you'll find out where you are spiritually. Did you hear that? Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, you know that. You will know that. Now, last week I brought out in Acts chapter 2 for the talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, you've got to realize that a lot of people don't understand that a lot of the issues of doctrine today that we're faced with literally did not have a part of the early church. The scriptures did not even back some of the doctrines that we're dealing with today. And these doctrines do not help us face what this life is all about. And it does not help us grow spiritually. And it does not help us to meet the demands and needs of other people in our life. And I brought out about the doctrine of predestination. Once saved, always saved. The extreme teachings of grace that is going on now. I mean, I'm shocked at some of the teaching that I'm seeing. Churches ending up seeker-friendly. God uses evil to promote and growth and educate us. And speaking in tongues is of the devil. And boy, you can tell how the enemy wanted to get right in there and hit in these main areas because he does it to undo our life in whatever manner or form that he can. And so these doctrines, really, when you think about them, they were promoted through fear. And when you get born again, you have not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. We find that in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7. I'll read it to you out of the Greek. For which cause I remind thee, Paul was talking to Timothy, to fan the flames of the gift of God which is in thee through the laying out of my hands of me. For God gave not to us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. So when God begins to develop within us, there's an advantage that we have that will never be in any other time period. And that is the advantage of having the kingdom of God grow within us till we are changed into the image of Christ and operating in the full intent that He wanted us to operate in. Now, here in Acts chapter 2, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I always promote this understanding to the body of Christ, even when I've gone to other churches and they've asked me to do their Sunday school programs. One of the things that many of the pastors ask is, do this teaching on speaking in tongues. I have to say this. I really think that Dave Roberson, my friend, prophetically brought forth the understanding of speaking in tongues. I think he brought that up out of the dark ages. God moved in Dave Roberson's heart to bring forth this truth, because speaking in tongues is a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And listen, there is no such thing as some will get the baptism and some won't. That's obvious. Some will and some won't. But God's will in the Word is very clear. He wants everyone to be filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost with that language. And now the reason that I brought to you here in Acts chapter 2 is how the church began. It began with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Now there were some that were born again before Pentecost, but they were not filled with the Spirit. That's when Jesus met them and breathed in them, the Spirit. He was talking about the Spirit of the new birth, because Jesus had been resurrected. That's what causes that born-again experience, is when a man has received the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were the ones that were in the upper room, and they also got the baptism of the Holy Spirit after they were saved. And so the Bible is very clear that there are two distinct operations. Now, why am I bringing that up? Because when I was studying the book of Revelations, a mystery was broken to me as I was praying in tongues, and I began to notice something throughout the book of Revelations. There is a progressive continuity with everything that you find in that book. And one of the things that I found in the book, that whenever the throne was mentioned where God sat, there was an occupying of the visions of what was taking place on those thrones. And I began to notice through the entire book of Revelation that the things that you saw before the throne were things that were finished in the earth. They once operated in the earth, and once they left the earth and they were before the throne of God, they were finished. It was a sign to everyone that their job is done. Now, one of the things that I begin to realize is that when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it says you get cloven tongues as of fire. And the word cloven was referring to an animal with a clove hoof, you know, like calves or pigs or whatever. And this word for division or dividing means to partition. To partition. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what it does is begin to work in your mind and in your heart. When you pray that tongue up, according to Isaiah 28, it says that stammering lips and another tongue is what gives us the ability to understand the Word of God, to interpret it the way God wants it interpreted. And so that's unique to our dispensation, our time period. There's one gift that never operated in the Old Testament, speaking in tongues. There's a gift that doesn't operate in the in tribulation, that's speaking in tongues. Are you following me? So tongues, speaking in other languages, is unique for our dispensation and generation, because God gave the baptism of the Holy Spirit for a purpose, and the purpose was cloven tongues like as of fire. It literally meant that God would work in our understanding, in our mind, a division or partition to what is right from what is wrong. Gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble burns up. Gold, silver, and precious stone comes from a refinement. Are you following me? And so when he gave us that baptism of the Holy Spirit, he gave us the ability now to receive the mind of God in its correct interpretation, to burn up the chaff that doesn't belong to us in our thinking. Are you following me? That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so precious. And we are living in a time period where the fullness of the baptism is here to do what? To lead and guide us into all truth, to lead and to guide us into all truth. How many can say amen? So when you get into tribulation and get under pressure, I got news for you. You need the Holy Spirit more than anything else to lead and guide you and work in your heart and in your thinking, especially when you're under pressure. Now, what is so unique about our time period? Transformation. It is a time when God begins to work in our mind to change the way that we think, to mature us, to grow us, to save as many as we can before the gauntlet is brought down. Now, why do we have the seven spirits of God before the throne? Why do we have the angel of Ezekiel wheels before the throne of God? Because there are symbols saying that during that last 7 year period, the work of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth will no longer come through the Holy Spirit working in the heart of a person. It will work through those who are commissioned to go and preach the gospel during that last 7 year period, which is the angels will float across the sky. Signs will be given in the heavens to expose Satan, and tribulational converts will begin to speak the gospel. The 144,000 will begin to preach the gospel, and the gospel that they will preach, and this gospel must, Jesus is the only way to eternal life, to discredit all faith in the earth. And so that's why you see the symbol of Ezekiel wheels before the throne, because Ezekiel wheels have those four faces that represent man in the earth, that God wants to give you guidance in all four aspects of your life in that area, and that job is finished. They now are before the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy." The only way people get saved during tribulation is to receive Jesus through the 144,000 Jews, converted Jews, through the witnesses that are converted during that time period. And I get so caught up with myself. Anyway, there's no inward transformation. They get saved just like they did in the Old Testament. That's how they get saved. Now listen, our time period is not to endure until the end. Our time period is to grow in our walk with God, to grow and receive a reward for both bad and good. But it's all reward. We're not called to endure. We're called to change, to transform. So the work before the throne is, just like the martyrs during tribulation, the very thing is when they come up, they are now occupying the throne. Why? Because there they are finished. It's finished. They're there. So while we're here, we have the greatest thing going for us. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He is here now to educate, to instruct, and to teach us. Yes, He uses men, but He gives validation to the truth that men will speak. Are you following me? And so we are living in a wonderful time period. Hallelujah, for things to work for us. But now in Isaiah 28, it says, the word of the Lord to them was the same thing, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little there, that they may fall backwards and go and be stumble and be taken. That is not the purpose of the church today. What the purpose of the church today is to understand the message, hallelujah, and be victorious that God called us to be. Part of that those four creatures is an eagle. That means the authority that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ as a human in Christ. Amen. And so when we talk about facing the situations in life, in 1 Thessalonians 3:4, it said that we would suffer tribulation. When I first got saved and began to hear the message of faith and authority and the authority of the believer, I thought, man, I tell you what, I can avoid all the tribulation that could come my way now. Boy, what dream world was I living in? Nobody told me. Now that I'm saved, the devil still runs this place. The only way that he can no longer run it is when I have found myself in Christ under his authority. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation 2:10 that says, and you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. Isn't that a bummer? Are you ready for this one? Did you know that Romans 12:12 says, are you ready for this? In hope. Now this is a God kind of hope. Now abide as faith, hope, and love. It's a God kind of hope. Not the world kind of hope, the God kind of hope. Yeah. Are you ready for it? In hope, patient in tribulation. Patient? Hope? Patient in tribulation? Where in the world did that come from? The first thing that happens when you get into pressure, tribulation, anguish, or whatever you're going through, the first thing you do is you lose hope and you're not patient about none of it. I want out of this. Especially now that I'm told that I will have to go into tribulation. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Joyful. Joyful in all tribulation. Bring some tribulation my way so I can be joyful, hopeful, and patient. But thank God for John 16:33. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Do you believe that? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome. The first time I read that verse, I said, that's all right for you, Lord. You're the one overcoming the world. But his overcoming is accredited to me. I have a right to overcome too if I want to. Amen. But it's up to me. I have to choose to want to overcome. Yeah. You know, the first time I started hearing people like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, I was just stunned at what I never knew existed in the Bible until they pointed it out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Matter of fact, after I had gotten this prayer book by Kenneth Hagin from an old logger there in Oak Ridge, Oregon, I started reading that. I was just in seventh heaven, and there ain't no seventh heaven. I was in the third heaven, and seventh heaven. And finally, somebody came up that was had a bookstore in Seattle, and he was up to date on all the... At that time, we had cassette tapes. You know, little reel-to-reel cassette tapes. And we didn't have CDs like we do now. And he said, have you ever heard of a guy named Kenneth Copeland? And I said, no, I've never heard of him. Who is he? He says, well, he was up at Warm Branch or someplace up north at a conference. And he did a teaching there on the God kind of faith. And I said, oh, really? I said, how do I get there? And he says, well, you have to call that place, and they'll send you the tape. So I called it, and the guy that answered the phone says, yeah, he was here. And I says, well, I understand he did a teaching on the God kind of faith for cassette tape. He says, yeah, but I don't recommend him. And I says, why? Wasn't he at your center? Yeah, he was at our center, but we don't believe in the things that he had taught. And I says, well... I would like the four cassette tapes anyway for me to judge for myself. Would that be all right with you? Okay, but I'm warning you. So he sent me the four tapes. And the first one I plugged in, I went, where did this guy come from? And so I looked on the back of the deal, and it shows him in an airplane and everything on the back of his cassette package, you know. And I said, he lives in Texas. I want to get some more of his stuff. And he had a list of his other tapes, and I got them all. He was one guy that I never laughed so hard at at what he was preaching, and when I was laughing at what he was saying at, he was cutting me to pieces of what I was thinking. Can you imagine that? He'd say things like, somebody approached him one time and said, what do you think of once saved, always saved? And so Kenneth Copeland said to him, I never wanted out. You know, statements like that, you know. Then he did a series on patience. Oh, I hated that series. I laughed through the whole thing, but I hated it because it indicted everything I thought about what the Bible had to say about patience. But I began to realize that the more that I've got involved with these people, the more they centered me back to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and begin to rely upon Him. People, we're in a very trying state right now. We're in a state of two things. Two things. Number one, we have to really understand salvation. Not being saved. We got that down pat. But we need to understand two things. One is, what does it mean to have salvation? The Bible says that the understanding of salvation would not be revealed until the end times. Never could figure that one out in Peter. Now I know. And the other thing that is very important for us to know is how the Holy Spirit really does work on the inside of our mind. If you don't understand that, you do not know how to even purge your thinking. You don't know how to purify the way you should think. Now, we've got people saying the renewing of the mind today is renewing our natural mind, which is the most ludicrous thing I ever heard. Because when I was getting my mind renewed, I thought I shouldn't think the way that I used to think. Why? Because my mind is renewed. Why do those thoughts keep coming back that's not renewed? Because I begin to realize you cannot renew your natural mind, the mind of the senses. It can only be purged by a higher authority. And I discovered it's my spiritual mind that is actually renovated to think differently than what it thought when it was united as one with my natural mind. Are you following what I'm saying? There is a natural mind, a physical mind, and there's a spiritual mind. And when I begin to see the circumcision of God's separating my spiritual identity from my natural identity, then I begin to realize this is what changes in me, my spiritual man. Amen. And who benefits by that? My natural mind and my body. They benefit by it. Why? Because inward control takes over. There's where self-control comes from. We're living in a world where 99.9% of our problems is what we bring on ourselves. It's decision choices that we make. And if they're the wrong choices, we reap the benefits of wrong choices. If it's right choices, we reap the benefit of right choices. Because in Galatians there, chapter 6, Paul clearly defined, he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap, and he that sows to the Spirit will reap. Don't be deceived in understanding this. Whatever you sow to, that you'll reap. Well, I want to sow to my Spirit. I don't know about you. I want to sow to my Spirit. Hallelujah. And so we need to do what is clearly defined when Paul talked to Timothy. Why did Paul talk to Timothy that way? Because Timothy was shook up. Timothy, did you know he had a huge responsibility? His church had grown to something like over, from what I had heard in the past, something to over 300,000 in attendance. Now, would you say that was a lot of people? You know, it was the Seven Pillars Court there in Ephesus. When we went there, Tim and I went there. Remember, Tim, we went to Turkey there and we saw went to Ephesus and we saw the Seven Pillars. Our guide was telling us that where these one pillars were at the end of the courtroom, he said that was Nero's mansion, his headquarters. That's where he lived, and he could look down over the court. And that's where Timothy and his church met at the beginning. And then, of course, at the other end was called the House of Wisdom. That's where Paul would ascend into that house and argue with the debaters of their time. And anyway, Nero, they say that Nero one day probably looked out and saw the impact of Christians, what Jesus was making as far as an impact to people converting to Christianity. That's where they think he got his idea of burning Rome to build this new Rome and blame it on the Christians. Because he was seeing the effect that was happening in Ephesus. And so Timothy was making a big impact. But in 2 Timothy, Timothy was beginning to have problems. In 1 Timothy, he was called into ministry, and he wanted to know from Paul, how should I put together this ministry? And Paul told him, well, in 2 Timothy, everything was not working out like it was supposed to. And so he went crying to Timothy. And the first thing Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, I want to tell you right now what you're not doing. You're not fanning the flame. You're not praying in the Holy Ghost. You're not edifying yourself and building yourself up. You are no longer seeing the achieving ability that has been placed in you. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything for you. He cooperates with you to help you. There's a real long Greek word there that literally spells out that the Holy Spirit will be your helper by taking a hold of one end of the load and you taking a hold of the other end of the load and you carrying it together. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And most of us, when we're not using the Holy Spirit, we're going to use our natural talent and ability, and that has a... That's not good. You know, it's good to turn to a doctor. He can do give you information, tell you what kind of antihistamine to use or whatever it is that's good for you. But your confidence still better be in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in these pills and these doctors all the time. Are you following me? They're very limited at what they can do to help you. You still have to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you something because you don't know how far this world will take you into pressures and things that are not good in this life. That's why he said in 2 Timothy 1, 6, for which cause I remind thee to fan the flames of the gift of God which is in thee through the laying on of my hands. He wasn't talking about ministry. I was told he was talking about ministry. Listen, I could fan the flames on my ministry all day long. What good does that do you or me? We got to fan the flames of the Holy Ghost on the inside of it so we're charged up. Yeah. Do you know what? The devil loves it when you stay away from the Holy Ghost, because then you're in his arena so he can bash you right alongside the head where you're getting to think that there's nothing you can do, but he has got it in control. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. And you know something? Who was it up here singing that, give it to God? Who was that? D'Esta. People, do you understand what that means? It means when you can't figure it out in your natural way of thinking, turn it over to God. All you got to do is give him permission to do it. That's all. He didn't say, if you understand what you need to do so you can give it to me, I'll do it for you, but you got to have it right. I'm glad you guys are that perfect. There are some things I've gotten into. I knew I got into it. I couldn't blame anybody but moi. And I didn't know how to get out of it. You know what God told me? He said, you ever heard about turning things over to the Lord? I said, yeah. He says, how about yourself? He says, you got yourself into that mess. Now, how do you expect me to get you out of it without you not turning yourself over to me? You know, that's why he's called Lord. You know what Lord means? The one you listen to who can help you. And you know what? If we're 99.9% of the problem, God can help us if we give him lordship.
When you're living in a dream world.
You got that right. I'm living in a world that seems like a dream. Again, Psalms 2 says, why do the heathen rage? The reason they rage is they want to cut the cords from God. That's the bottom line. This world doesn't want anything to do with God. And the only hope that we have is our life in Him. And the only hope we have to be led of the Spirit and be guided into all truth is that God has to work in the four aspects of our life so that He can lead and guide us. I'm going to tell you the four aspects that is found in Ezekiel wheels. They're really good. And I think it'll help all of you if you want to write them down. People look at the Ezekiel wheels and say, that thing is weird. It was weird to me for many years, but until I began to really see the purpose of those wheels and what they represent, wow, it really began to help me. Okay, Ezekiel wheels. You might want to write this down. Because this is a form of how God is working with us in our time period, our generation. That's why when you get into the book of Revelation, you don't find the witness of this Spirit working in the earth anymore, because He's finished. There was four phases to this Spirit. Man, that means Adam, the son of earth. Natural responsibilities and family obligations. The lion, kingdom authority, spiritual gifts and ministry. The ox, a man's labor. The eagle, the spiritual dimension of a man's life, prayer. And notice, each activity is represented by the four faces, meaning that when the Holy Spirit begins to lead and guide you in life, in those four areas, He will lead and guide you in those 4 years because He can see clearly. It's all full of those eyes. He can see clearly when you begin a process and when you need to make a change into another form of process. And He says, The Spirit will lead you because He can see everything. What's behind and what's ahead for you. See, and that's where during that last 7 year period, we don't have a direct leading and transformation by the Holy Spirit and that seven pillars of wisdom or the creature here, Ezekiel Wheels, because God is no longer working through that avenue. See, are you following me? Because their witness is at the throne, their job is done. Are you following me? And so that's why it's important for you and I to get a hold of this understanding now about how important it is to get filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to pray in tongues and let God then begin to illuminate what He's already said. This is how He will make us to understand the message, to interpret it properly. You can't do it with your own natural intellect. It's insane. It's crazy. I want to tell you a challenge. The book of Revelation will challenge you because your intellect wants to run in there every time. And I've learned how to shut him off. I start praying in tongues. When I run into a passage or something there, I'll stick to that. I'll make a note of it and I'll pray in tongues until the Holy Spirit drops an understanding in. Boom. And man, I'm going to tell you something, people. That last 7 year period, if you think God is dealing with a little bit, He's dealing with the whole world. And He wants your understanding of what the whole world is going to go through. And it's not going to be good. I don't want to be left here and hear the words, I told you so. How do we deal with tribulation and tests and trials and pressures? You get a hold of your partner who's called alongside you permanently. And you get into speaking in them tongues, praying them mysteries out. praise God, and learn how to get rid of the wood, hay, and stubble in our thinking and get the gold, silver, and precious stone. Most of our problems is us. Matter of fact, do you know what our dispensation is also called? Did you know what our dispensation is also called? Are you ready? The dispensation of stewardship. It means to manage yourself. The fruits of the Spirit is self-management. Ah, I know, I'm through. I don't want you guys to hate me. Ushers, come forward. We're going to have communion now because maybe the body has a lot to repent about towards me. Praise God. We're going to have a good time on end time things, teaching. Praise God. It'll really bless you. It'll bring a light and understanding. It's really funny. You know, a lot of the ministries want to avoid the book of Revelation. You don't want to know why? They don't want to leave. They want to stay here. They like their ministry too much. That don't mean I don't care for you guys. Don't get me wrong. But I'll be glad when we're out of this mess. You know, people say, have you ever noticed the identity crisis? The devil's doing everything to steal everybody's identity. And I said, which identity are you referring to? Is it your identity over credit cards and things like that? Yeah. Well, what about what you are in Christ? The devil even, that's where identity crisis came from. Is that Jesus picked something up. The church is stupid enough to buy into his doctrine. And he goes ahead and manifests, good, I'll take their money too. Yeah, we have an identity crisis. But it isn't just money. It's also centered around who we are in Christ. Okay, we're getting ready to receive the communion element so we can get out of here. What is the purpose of the communion elements? It brings back a remembrance of the person of Jesus Christ. He done two things. He came to keep the body of Christ intact and to have a way to cleanse it. The blood represents his life that was shed, and the bread represents his body that is to remain intact. Boy, we've done a good job of tearing it all to pieces. And it also refers to self-judgment. Self-judgment. A lot of us don't really know what self-judgment really involves. And if you remember in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says the word of God was given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And when we take the communion elements, we must let the word of God speak to us during communion. Look back in remembrance. We must allow the word of God to confront us, to disturb our false security, to undermine our complacency, to overthrow our patterns of thoughts and behaviors. So there's a whole lot involved there that involves self. And if God can work with self through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can sure avoid a lot of problems, especially with people you draw near to. Got to be careful who you draw near to, because the wrong people in your life will not only create a dysfunction in you, it will create it in them and all those around you. And that's not good. People's skills is very valuable. Very important to the body of Christ. Because not everybody is on the same page. Thank you, John. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, in the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And it says break. He broke it. He was talking about removing a piece from a large loaf. And it was signifying afterwards what the communion table was really all about, and that is the cleansing of each other's walk. And also cleanse ourselves of ourselves. And so when he said, take this bread and eat, he said, do this in remembrance of me. And God's number one purpose for all of us to remain intact. Together as a universal body and an image body. With that thought in mind, go ahead and take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. And the blood is a symbol of his life that was shed for us so that we have new life. And that new life orders a behavior in us that's not normal to man. That's why we're not called mere men. Our origin is different. The way we react to life is different. And it puts a cleansing about us. So let's take and drink the blood. Pass your cups into the center of the aisles for the ushers. I always remember that communion time when John Patello came up and handed me the tray and there was no bread or wine on it. I didn't know that was a symbol to me that I didn't need it, or I'll never forget the look on his face when he looked at the tray. Gave it to everybody else but me. Well, did you get something here today? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is what compels us into the right direction of our life. And I thank you for these wonderful people that has come here today. And I hope that whatever I shared with them, they begin to realize how important the Holy Spirit is in our life. Not only to guide us into truth, but to lead us in every aspect of our life. So that we know when to cease one thing and go to the next and the next. You always give us seasons and times. We want to be in correct timing for our life for you. So that we would be good witnesses for everyone, Heavenly Father. We're not living in a time period of commitment. We're living in a time period of feelings and emotions. But we want to be a church of commitment for you, Jesus, to do things on purpose and on time. So if everyone will stand up right now, hallelujah. And if you're here and you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you. And if you've had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you have been having trouble praying in other tongues, we would love to pray with you for that. And if you would like full assurance of your salvation, we would love to pray for you on that. And if you need divine healing, the Lord Jesus has already provided that for you. So in any one of those areas, if it fits you, please step out and come up right now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, confirmation, healing, whatever it is that you need, now's the time to step up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys ready to go home? Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. Father, I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful Holy Spirit in our life. Oh, he means so much to us, Heavenly Father. May we really see his... Oh, re tike ambarat.